Hello, everyone. This is Mark, the Ballpark Hunter. You're listening to the Ballpark Hunter podcast. I am the regional correspondent for the website Stadium Journey, your industry's leader in sports travel. You are planning any trips this season, whether it's to a stadium, an arena, college campus, check out stadiumjourney.com first. We'll tell you what to expect and what you need to do only at stadiumjourney.com. With me today is the GM of the Wahee Zap and the Bison Baseball Club, Lizzie Kocher. That's a lot of teams to be running of the Independence Baseball League. Lizzie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark.
All right. Thank you for coming on. I told you this before we recorded, but I had a running joke on this podcast that join me next week. We'll have someone from the Gem City Bison come on the show. So we're sort of halfway there. They're not the Gem City Bison, but they are the Bison, and they're going to play this year as a road team, playing a limited schedule called Bison Baseball. So Lizzie, you're the GM of the Zap. They're playing a regular season. How did the Bison come about this offseason?
Yeah, I think how it all kind of happened was, you know, as the ILB was kind of losing a team here and there, and we were looking to continue expansion, the Bison had always been a little whisper in the background. And after their previous owner and manager, Boyd, had been speaking with some of our colleagues, it kind of came to the point where our owners were ready to expand then and there. So we kind of, you know, took it upon ourselves as the Zap to continue expanding. And with the blessing of the league and everyone else, it just so happened that we were able to make it into a travel team this year.
Okay. And why the Bison name? Were uniforms still laying around somewhere? Or was it a popular team, popular name that they wanted to have this back in the league?
I think the Bison itself has such a great South Dakotan ring to it. Although we couldn't bring Gem City with us, the Bison was perfect.
Yeah.
You know, depending on their future home and location, that may or may not change. But we felt Bison was strong. We felt that the marketing was done phenomenally with their prior location.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, they did such a nice job with the logos, and you're showing it off today.
Yeah, for those of you who can't see, I got an OG Gem City Bison. I mean, that Bison is pretty rad dude, as we used to say back in the 1980s.
Well, and the more that we expose that logo in particular of him standing there tossing the baseball, people are requesting that he cannot go anywhere. So the Bison are here to stay for now.
Good, good. You know, I remember there was a time when bison were almost extinct in this country. So, you know, now we have bison. We have them out in Indiana, where I'm from, in a little conservatory area, which I didn't know that. And now we have the Bison baseball team back. But it's a little different this year. They're not going to be part of they're not going to play right away. They're going to play towards the end of the season. How did this come up to say, hey, let's have a travel team? And how did you come up with the amount of games they're going to play? Because it's only going to be about 18, 19 games they're going to be a part of.
Correct. That was completely a league decision. When we had our postseason meetings this fall, because again, it was kind of a whisper that the Bison could be a potential this year, the idea of having a travel team was very attractive. We've had great teams like the Sawtooth Sockeyes and the Nebraska Prospects come in to help boost our home game, outings. Having home games is like having a Super Bowl every day in a small town. You will finally get that entertainment feature, and being able to have a travel team gave everyone else extra home games and less travel games. So it really helped everyone.
No, definitely. And other leagues have done this. The Atlantic League used to have the Road Warriors travel. We've seen the Grays in, Frontier League. There's always been some kind of travel team. But this year you have three because you got the Plainsmen and Nebraska, correct?
Yes, correct.
And there's any chance that these teams will be permanent sometime in the future, or is that a league decision?
I'll speak for the Bison solely. We definitely have plans to give them a home.
Okay.
I feel like Nebraska has really coined themselves as a dominant travel team. They run their organization incredibly well. The Plainsmen, like us, are new, and I'll kind of be curious to see what they decide to do in the future. But the Bison will definitely be looking for a home. And that was actually a common conversation today already with owners and other team managers as well.
So are you looking at a home somewhere near Pier, or is it someplace else outside?
probably a little somewhere further east. You know, we have Spearfish and we love their location. We're right in the middle here in Pierre. To have some ILB baseball, you know, out on the east side of South Dakota would be huge for us. And then we're all across the state.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And being that this is a travel team, if I come to a Zap game this year, am I going to find merchandise and caps? Is that going to get very extensive or maybe limited based on, you know, being a travel team?
Sure. We are hoping to have some, you know, tangible goods there for the Bison themselves. We're also hoping to get them into our 4th of July parade. So we want to throw them right in the mix of our community when they're here, you know, really expose them, create a fan base right away. We're opening up a merchandise store online for them this end of the month. And then hopefully for the tangible goods, yeah, we definitely want to get their stuff in the stands, bring more gold to the stadium as the Zap have gold too. And, you know, really, really get people excited about them again.
Yeah, well, I love the Zap colors, sky blue, dark blue, and gold. I think those are just classic combinations. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've been looking at, I know, you know, National Cap Day is in January, and I was looking at some Zap caps because, you know, there's certain teams you like to kind of wear a cap of, and you just want to make sure it's the right type of cap. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you buy a cap and you're like, it's one of these, like, you know, on-field caps. So,
yeah.
I'm paying attention to the Zap. I'm just, you know, got to hit the trigger.
I love it.
Because you hate getting a cap. You put it on. You're like, oh, I got to return it. And
well,
you go through that process. So, you know, I'm the type that likes to go to a ballpark, try the cap on, see how it looks, because I get a little picky. But, you know, the Zap got some great caps. I'm sure you guys are going to come up with some nice Bison looks. Anything different from what the team had in the past?
You know, not so much, more just the like subtraction of the Gem City, kind of allowing it to be the Bison and Bison baseball to stand on itself will be the biggest thing. I mean, like we've said, and it's a broken record, but their marketing and their logo design is just, you know, like high end, you know, top of them all. So there's not too much we want to touch right now because so many people love it so much.
Yeah, they almost did the right thing. Do people know you're running the Bison? Or, you know, when people when they heard about the Bison coming back, I don't know what the interest was, but do people, you know that you have a connection with it, or do they seek this out elsewhere?
Sure. I think kind of, what's happening and what I'm noticing especially is that the Zap are still so new. So to say that we have a sister team, some people are kind of puzzled, like, well, you've only been here for a year. And it's like, we sure have, but we have a sister team. So I think what comes along with it is that although the Bison, their name carries more of a story than ours does, it's really cool that we kind of get to start anew together. So I think the association is getting a lot stronger with it. I think, you know, coming out publicly and saying that we are sister teams got the Zap a lot of attention, which was fantastic. Okay.
Yeah.
But I think together we're really in this ride together. And I think people are going to see how strong the connection is this year. And although it will be sad to not have them here, you know, those off days and some of those off weekends, we're really happy for them to have something of their own one day too.
Yeah. Now that's the thing. When some of these sister teams, they work out pretty well, and, you know, like once they get their own field, they're on their own. Or is the Zap going to still be part of their marketing or ownership?
Ownership will stay the same. Absolutely. Okay. We do hope to basically copy and paste the organizational feel here in Pierre to wherever they end up, you know, find the same amount of care that those people have to take on those roles and responsibilities and go from there. But first and foremost, it's finding the relationships in the cities that we're looking into and making sure that those cities and towns have the same love to bring on summer baseball that we do.
Yeah, you're right, because there's been a lot of movement in the Independent Baseball League. And I remember a lot of the 7 teams, I think, left the Expedition League. They were starting anew. Then the next year, 3 teams went independent. You know, some teams folded. One team, the Gem City Bison left Laramie, and a Big Stick decided to join the Northwoods League.
Yep.
It's almost like herding cats. It's like, hey guys, let's stay in this league and build it. Stop going independent, you know? Like,
exactly.
Like, stay here. We need you.
And you know? I think the group we have now amongst management and ownership, I feel that we're very cohesive at this point. And I feel like we're all carrying the same, you know, desire to keep the ILB strong and with the teams that are there now. Although the Sawtooth Sockeyes aren't with us this year, that's a relationship we hope to have and continue to have in the future, although we might not be playing with them this year.
What happened to them, the Sockeyes?
Mostly just because of team count. You know, it was nothing personal. It just kind of came down to the fact that we wanted, as ILB managers and owners, to pursue our own teams and to push those teams instead, rather than the Satu Sockeyes, who have a lot of experience in other leagues as well. Losing us or not playing with us this year wasn't a major loss to them. It's just another great, you know, another great road trip for them. So it was a great, you know, great relationship, continues to be. Our other teams communicate with them a lot, but, you know, looking into next year, that's a relationship we can continue to have, hopefully.
Yeah. Cause I mean, what a lot of people don't realize, some of these summer collegian teams, they have independent schedules. You know, they don't have to be in a league. They entertain their fans, they develop their players. And in some ways they like playing more home games. They don't have to get on a bus. They don't have to pay for those expenses. They may not have to get hotels. But I would say most of the teams in this league, I mean, the goal is to have, you know, maybe 8 to 10 teams each city, you know, be part of this collection, this union you call the IBL, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because it's just crazy. You know, you had the Savannah Bananas, they're in the Coastal Plain League, and that morphed into something I don't think anybody saw coming. If we had money on that in Vegas.
No.
And then I saw other, like, you know, Alaska, the Gold Panthers, they're independent. The Plainsmen in Western Nebraska went independent last year. One folded, one joined the Rocky Mountain League. Yep. It gets confusing, you know, it gets really confusing what league you guys are in. So, you know, stepping away a little bit from the Bison, how are things with the Zap, you know, the main team?
Yeah, things are going really well. Going into our second year, we're going in strong. I think that, you know, now this is actually about to be a full year for myself. I'm just excited. I think the community is excited to have baseball back. I think we've really maintained some great relationships and partnerships from last year. And, you know, I think one of the best news you can get as a collegiate home team is the amount of host families that you have. And we have people reaching out left and right to be able to be a part of the experience with us. So things are going well. And I think Pierre is really excited to have baseball back.
Yeah. Cause now how you said you've been with the team for almost a year. Were you here from the beginning?
Not essentially the beginning. The team was technically founded last September. And then I was hired on January of last year.
Okay. And where are you from, the area, or?
I'm not. I'm actually from right outside of the Twin Cities, from Minnetonka, Minnesota.
Okay, Minnetonka. Nice, nice. So, yeah. So how's it living up there? You know, how do you like life up there?
It's very different from what I've ever known. Yeah. Went to school in St. Paul for, you know, my university studies too. So coming to Pierre was definitely different. You know, it's small town, but 15,000 people still kind of seems big.
Yeah,
but imagine. It's been a blast. Now it's really become home, and especially being a part of something in the community. That was always kind of the goal to find, because we moved here for my husband's job with the military. So having something here to be a part of was, you know, the winning goal to find home for sure.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, trying to promote a team in a town of 15,000 people. I don't know how many people live outside. You think would be an easy task. You think everybody would be excited, but you got to make sure you don't tick off your sponsors or people that make your jerseys, because we've heard all horror stories from the Expedition League. You know, somebody owes you money for this and somebody's not paying the rent on their offices and somebody left the concession stands in disarray. So, you know, you don't want to tick off the folks at Pier.
Oh, no.
No, no. And I know the last time I had interviewed Jackson Bruce, I don't know if he's still with the team.
No longer, but yes, I know that you guys had talked last year.
Yeah, I didn't know it was called Pierre. I used to call it Pierre.
Yes, a common mistake. I don't blame anyone.
No. And I'm like, wow, I just realized that right now. I'm glad somebody told me that. Or Minot is not Minot.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, some of these summer collegian teams are teaching the rest of the folks in the United States how to pronounce your city names. So,
well, exactly. And then we also like to throw Oahe out there. And that's always a fun one too, because I notice that people will avoid saying our full name sometimes and just say Zap.
Oahe,
and
I'll be like, yes.
Do you know how to say it? Like, not to be rude, but just, it's a word. It's a hard word to kind of get around.
Well, you know, you're from Minnesota. There's a lot of interesting words up there to say. I still don't know where Paisley Park is. I'm not trying to pronounce the name of that.
No, Funny enough, that's actually very close, just a highway and a couple suburban streets away from where I live or used to live.
Yeah, no, I was up there, I think the year that Prince passed away, I was up in Minneapolis, and I was going to a lot of the town ballparks, which you're probably familiar with. I was in Chaska, I was in, Cannon Falls, Jordan. Went to these beautiful small little ballparks, and some of the best brats, I think, are at Minnesota town ballparks.
Minnesota should be proud of that.
and that's something that is not known to a lot of ballpark hunters. You can just camp out in the Twin Cities for a week or two and hit about 10, 12 different ballparks that you'll have an awesome experience. But I remember some of the names I'm thinking, like, I don't know how to say this thing.
Well, an easy name. Did you ever visit Veterans Field at Minnetonka High School?
No, have not been there.
Phenomenal field. It's not going to be as quaint or historical as some of the other ballparks that you may enjoy seeing, but it's a ball field that has one of the first turfed in the area and actually shared amongst quite a few college teams as well. And that's a fun spot.
No, that's what I'm saying. There's so much that I may not know of. I may go someplace and then I come back. I'm like, oh my goodness, that ballpark was, you know, a half hour south of me.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, sometimes it doesn't get promoted as much. So, you know, that's why we try to have these podcasts. We try to encourage people to make them, you know, maybe a little more aware of what's happening around you. So, all right. So the Bison are back. You're going to try to get them. Hopefully they have their own stadium city in 2025. Mm-hmm. Any kind of promotions you're going to do with them when they come, or when they're the road team this year? Or just
hard to say. I think just the blank exposure, just, you know, getting them out there, putting them on a poster somewhere and making them relevant again. You know, they were just lost for those few months and they were in limbo. And I think people really started to disconnect from that because they had nowhere to go. And so I think to really put into the fact that they will have a home. And that's the number one goal here outside of the exposure, is really getting them somewhere to go. So promotion wise, there's, you know, nothing crazy that we have in the books just yet, but it's really to just get them out there, spread their name again, and get people excited that they'll have another baseball team to root for.
And are they going to wear just one jersey, or are you going to have a couple jerseys for them?
We're going to have a couple jerseys this year. We just started really designing those again last week, and we're very excited. So yeah, so they'll have two jerseys. Obviously they're always away jerseys.
Yes.
But when they're with us, with the Zap, they have obviously a few extra games with us. We're going to really try and coordinate those uniforms with them and, you know, put a good show out on the field.
So I'm picturing the Zap are going to wear their monochrome baby blue jerseys, and then the Bison are going to wear monochrome yellow jerseys.
That would be a cool sight.
Brown stripes, you know, AKA 1972 Padres.
Yes. Well, and that's kind of been the theme and the desire out of this, is there's something really classic about the Bison colors. And so not only did we not want to change the name this year, but we don't want to change the colors. There's no other team in the area with colors like this. And we should never lose that personally, I think.
Well, you know, I don't live too far from the Kokomo Jackrabbits. And I remember they have similar colors. I was told that making a brown cap is very difficult. Do you have any?
We haven't had issues with it yet. They haven't, you know, sent anything back to me that says they can't accomplish it. So all of our branding guides so far are matching up well. So I've noticed that actually yellow and like sunflower yellow and gold have had more issues than brown so far.
Okay, sunflower gold. you're right, because they're not colors used by a lot of teams. You know, I know the Padres brought them back, but you know, it's nice to have a different color that's you know, because everybody, you know, and everybody can have black and silver or black and red, but you know the Zap have a nice color contrast. I'm still looking for a team to bust out some magenta.
Ooh,
like I would love to see those colors. Like, maybe if we'll I had a team, magenta and orange would be the colors.
We'll have to look into that.
You know, maybe black or navy blue as an accent color or something like that.
That would look cool. Fun.
Yeah. Now, the Zap, I know you guys usually have some creative special nights for jerseys. Anything like that for 24?
Yes, we have some in the works. None of them are confirmed, so I can't share any of them at this time. Mm-hmm. But I can say that more than last year, very community focused.
Okay.
Very focused on with the fact that when we auction them, they're all going back to nonprofits. And scholarships that these organizations are running. So we're really excited to get that out. We may or may not be doing a drawing for someone to actually design a jersey for us in the youth community. So, you know, we're definitely just trying to get people more involved so that they can resonate with the team more themselves instead of trying to push it on them. We want them to be a part of it. So that's all I can really share about that right now.
Okay. And no, that's fine. I feel like every time I have somebody on here, it's like, well, I can't tell you this, Mark. Can't tell you what we're doing. It's in conjunction with a local brewery. So
yeah,
I've been there before. I had Taylor from the Oakland Ballers, and he's got a bunch of news that he could even tell me. He's like, yeah, it's not, we haven't announced it yet. So,
sure.
So then hopefully, you know, when it gets announced, people, you know, flock to that news. So
exactly.
Promotions, atmosphere, new foods, new beers, anything on tap that you can tell us?
On tap, no. We're actually going to slim down our selection a little bit this year just to kind of give people the opportunity to think less.
Yeah.
So really try to just get those classics back. I've been in touch with people about peanuts. Gotta always have a good, you know, peanut selection at the ballpark. So we're gonna bring peanuts in this year, cotton candy. There was another feature that we were going to bring back. Oh, we're going to add in pizza this year.
Nice.
But we worked with US Foods last year and really loved our relationship, and the food that we served has all been requested to come back. So our primary menu won't change. We're just going to make a few sweet additions.
Any bison burgers?
Oh no, but that is a good idea, Mark. Thank you.
I tell you, might be a little ritzy on the price, but you know, yeah. Maybe bison sliders, I don't know, you can get away with.
It's a good idea though, because yeah. We had our Chislic night last year, and I don't know if that was ever discussed or if you saw that promotion. But
you know, I know what Chislic is. I've never had it. I'm not too familiar with it. If you can explain that to my audience, I'm sure they'd appreciate it.
I hope there are no South Dakotans listening to your show right now, because I'm going to get.
Okay.
It's a South Dakota staple, and I don't want to disrespect it. So no. It's the primary place where it came from was lamb, if I'm not mistaken. And okay. It's basically deep fried cubed lamb. Last year we just did beef, but you know, it's always the argument of which do you prefer? So it's fantastic. It is so good. We had it with our homemade ranch last year that our concession manager made. She made like 3 gallons of it.
Homemade ranch.
It was wonderful.
And they eat it with a toothpick, correct? Is that how?
Correct.
So you get it served in a bowl or a cup, and you just.
Yeah, just one of those little, stadium bowl things. And it went
like great. maybe in a Zap plastic helmet.
Exactly. And that is something that is coming to the ballpark this summer.
Oh, ice cream in a plastic helmet.
We sure hope so. We hope we can make it work. Right. The helmets will be there for sure.
I know Paul Caputo of Baseball by Design will be happy with that. He has an extensive, eclectic, he has a collection of those things.
Love it.
So he'd be always happy to see more. Yeah. So you had a night where you just had the one night when you served the deep fried beef?
Technically two. The first night was such a success. We were like, why don't we come back with it? So we did. It was a little bit more lower scale, but a little less attended.
Okay.
Probably fell on a night, if I can recall correctly, where there might have been another town event, or, you know, the weather wasn't as kind, but both nights were a huge hit. The jerseys, huge hit. The hat. People asked us to change the team name to Chislic. So very well perceived.
Wow. That's how big it was. And that's coming back this year, correct?
It is correct.
Okay, cool. Any other regional foods out there that you've discovered?
Ooh.
Or is that the big one?
That's the big one. That's the big one for sure. And I think just where I'm from in Minnesota, and the difference of it out here is just the variety in hunting and the meats that get brought in.
Okay.
I do not come from a hunting family or a community of hunting out here. I mean, that's what people do. So myself, I've enjoyed a lot of pheasant. I think pheasant is quite wonderful. And from there, you know, just kind of experimenting that way, but Chislic is definitely the winner.
Now, how does pheasant taste? I'm not familiar with that.
It's very light, like a lot lighter than pork, but when it's shredded like that, it's wonderful.
Wow. And venison is popular there as well, or is that more of a, is deer hunting popular out there, or is that?
Deer hunting is very popular. I haven't seen much of venison besides jerky. I would say it's most popular in the form of jerky. Most other things haven't seen as much of it, but the hunting portion is huge.
Well, you know, like growing up in New Jersey, even out here in Indiana, I always know somebody who hunts, and they always have venison burger. It's like, yeah, just killed a buck, had it chopped up, and you know, there's venison jerky, there's venison burgers, some venison chops.
Yep.
And, you know, my wife refuses to eat deer meat, but
the jerky isn't terrible. You know, I'm pro animal, but out here I'm pro hunting too. It definitely is a lifestyle. And
I'm thinking to myself, you eat chicken, you eat steak.
Yep.
You know, I'm just thinking, like, you know, and we live in an area where I could probably just sit outside my house and shoot a deer because they're all over the place. I mean, my dogs are barking at 3 o'clock in the morning and I look outside, yep. There's like a family of deer walking by, and you know, it's getting to the point where the deer don't even run away from you anymore. They just like, hey, what's up? Like, hey, you know, you cut down all the trees in the forest to build a new complex.
Yeah.
we're coming.
Nowhere else to go. You know, maybe by doing this talk with you, Mark, maybe we'll find a food truck that wants to come out and do venison jerky at one of our games. Cause I'd love to incorporate some food trucks in the ballpark this year.
Oh yeah. Food trucks are nice. I mean, especially when you get those funky ones to come out, or if you have like a food truck night. I know I went to a St. Paul Saints game, speaking of the Twin Cities,
yep.
And they had a night where they brought food trucks out after the game and sat them on the warning track.
Yeah.
And they had everybody come out and just chill on the field after the game.
That is cool. That is a great concept.
And it was, and they had players come out to sign autographs. I don't know if they shot fireworks. I don't know how long. I don't think they shot fireworks. We would have noticed. But I was like, man, this is just such a simple thing to do. You just get a bunch of food trucks out there and you just let people come on the field and walk around and take pictures.
That's cool. And I think them above a lot of other organizations, they do it right. The St. Paul Saints have done a phenomenal job. I watched the documentary recently on the owner. I'm blanking on the name of it, but one of the greatest stories ever. And their
Mike Vec.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely an organization to aspire to be one day. So love what they do.
Yeah, no. I was there in 1995. I think it was their third year. And I was like, I was a little kid. I was like, man, I want to work in baseball. They inspired me
to want to
pursue a sports management degree of some sort. So,
yeah.
All right. So Lizzie, did you work anywhere else in sports before arriving in town?
Yes. I used to coach full-time at a facility called Hit Dog in Plymouth, Minnesota, alongside Sean Wooten and Lisa Olson. Actually, funny enough, Sean Wooten is Corey Seager's hitting coach. So that was a really fun connection to make back in the day. And then prior to that, I did a few years with the Vikings for events and game days for their nonprofit.
Okay. How'd you like work for the Vikings?
Phenomenal. It was such a great experience. A lot of great relationships to this day, thanks to that organization.
Yeah, I was able to take a tour of the stadium prior to, I think it was the first year. That's the last time I was in Minnesota. And I was like, man, I would love to come back for a game.
Yeah. You know, the atmosphere is unbelievable. We were actually at the whiteout game a few weeks ago, obviously a very unfortunate loss for Vikings fans out there, but they did something right with US Bank, the layers and the story. And although it's very modern, I mean, watching a football game there is unbelievable.
Yeah. And you can also host baseball in the stadium.
Yes. Yep. Several collegiate teams. Yeah. The U, Concordia, St. Paul, don't want to speak wrong, but I think St. Thomas baseball might have played a game or two there. I mean, they push those seats back. And I mean, the field completely changes. It's awesome what they can do.
Yeah. I'm just like, if the Twins ever had a playoff game that got snowed out,
yeah,
that could be your emergency place to go. I mean, I'm surprised the Twins don't say, hey, let's do one game at the ballpark. Just again,
another great concept. You should shoot them an email at contact us.
Well, you know that. And I can tell you that one time I had to contact the Twins. I talked to their team historian. He called me back. I think every team has a team historian.
Okay.
And he was the only one who called me back and just talked to me about town baseball. And because I think I wrote an article about the town ball lounge at Target Field. And we just had a really long conversation. And, you know, he was a college kid who, the reason why he got hired on for the Twins is because I think the original owner, the owner who brought the team over, and I can't think of his name right now, gave free tickets to some kids to come to watch. And he called and said, Calvin Griffin. And this gentleman said, thank you, Mr. Griffin. And he goes, you're the only person who called me back. I want to give you a job. And that's how he got started.
And I bet that phone call was just unbelievable to hear. Oh. to hear what he had to share with you and everything. Yeah, that's awesome.
I tell you, every now and then I get, you know, I'm thinking, and I didn't have a podcast back then. I'm thinking to myself, now that would have been a great podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe I need to make a phone call and get him back on. So. All right. Well, Lizzie, before we wrap things up, how's the off season looking for you? Like, what are some of the things you're focusing on right now in January and February, cold months?
Yeah, the cold months for sure. Negative 10 here right now.
Yeah, -1 here.
Oh, wind chill is just brutal. Well, we're number one focus is staying warm.
Yes.
But for the teams, you know, I think that the Zep are really proud to say that we essentially have a full roster. Nice. We are set and ready to go for what the 2024 season has to bring. Whereas the Bison, you know, we're in the thick of it right now. We're looking for these guys who want to spend these three important weeks of their summer with us. And that's definitely the priority. Going back to the Zap, it's just really rekindling, no pun intended with the heat, rekindling all those partnerships that we haven't quite touched back with since the fall. Seeing where people are at, seeing how they feel about baseball, kind of getting people excited again, even though it's a few months out. And, you know, when you find those partners and those host families that are excited, it's fun to start talking about it again. Yeah. So
now, do you think most people know who the Zap are if you went out there?
I think we're getting there.
Yeah. Well, that's the key there. You don't want people like thinking like the Zap, who are they?
Yeah.
Because that happens. You talk to teams, you talk to the fans at a certain town, and they'll start talking about another team that hasn't existed in years.
Exactly. Yeah, I think, and because that was the situation that we were coming from, it is crazy, not only what I learned, but what I learned about what a history in this town can mean to people and how long it resonates. So we don't ever want to replace what the Trappers were here, but we definitely want to surpass it and become what people want now.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I kind of forgot about the Trappers.
Yeah.
Because you go with Oahe. So sometimes I forget where you guys play.
Yeah.
Which is that's named after the dam, right? That's where it comes from.
Exactly. And actually, funny enough, we're in the middle of designing something for the fans to know how to pronounce it.
Oh, nice.
Like the phonetic version in the dictionary. So yes, Oahe is the definition of a foundation or place to stand on. And that's what the dam was named after too.
All right. Sounds great. Well, Lizzie, I thank you for taking your time in this cold, chilly day, whether you're in the Midwest, the upper Midwest, or the Plains. And talking a little bit about Bison baseball and also a little bit about the Oahe Zap. Gotta have to stick that into memory.
Yes, so, exactly.
All right. So is the Bison Twitter page going to be up and running? Is that something where we're going to see updates about the team once they start playing or before they're playing?
Yes, before they're playing, especially once we start getting those player signings in and concrete and ready to go, all formats of social media will be up and running with constant updates.
Okay, so the Zap and the Bison, you can follow them there.
Correct.
And then where can we find you guys? What's your website?
For OahiZap.com is for up. Yep, OahiZap.com for us. The Bison webpage will be up closer to the season. Okay. But we will do shout outs for all of their merchandise stores that do come up online before baseball is here with us this summer.
All right. So folks, if you're having problems finding the Bisons, just check out the Zap. I'm sure they'll lead you there. You can also just send an email or somebody will respond to you.
Absolutely.
It'd be great. All right. Well, Lizzie, thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate it. And best of luck this year. We'll definitely be checking out the Bison and the Zap.
Awesome. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Take care. Okay, that was Lizzie Kocher, GM of the Oahe Zap. Got to get practice saying that. And Bison Baseball, not the Gem City Bison, but Bison Baseball. And finally, after, I guess, almost 1 year, I have somebody from the Bison to come on the podcast. So I'm very excited about that. A lot of people might have remembered that I would end my shows, and I haven't done it in a while, but I think I was doing it for maybe March, April, May, June, July, saying, hey, join me next week when we have the Gem City Bison on. And I think some people are thinking, okay, well, when are the Gem City Bison coming on? Or is that a thing? Inside joke, and this is where it stems from. Last January 18th, this is January 18th, 2023, I invited them. 2 days later, they said yes, anytime after February 15th. So I reply back and say, okay, let's set up February 16th at 7 p.m. They said fine. February 15th comes. They get an email from the Bison. And this is all through Twitter, instant messaging, or direct message, DM. They said, well, what are we going to talk about? And I reply, and this is what I reply. I'd like to talk about the first season in Laramie, how things went in terms of the experience, community involvement. I also hope to talk about a little bit off-season business and if there are any changes this year at the ballpark or with promotions. And anything else you'd like to talk about, let me know and we can discuss that as well. Thanks. So that was on February 15th at 9:39 a.m. At 11:43 a.m., this is what I get back from them. We are the new owners. Last season was the previous owners, and I can't specify anything that went on in 2022. 2023 has been shut down, and because of ongoing negotiations with the city that we can't really discuss too much. So, And I don't know, that came across a little shady. A little Shady McGrady, if you know what I mean. That whole, I didn't get how one day you were all about me wanting to come on the show, and then a few weeks later you weren't. So that's fine. I don't know what was going on. And then the team wound up taking a hiatus. They didn't go back to Laramie, and I wasn't aware of that at the time. And unfortunately, it's not like I can look up Gem City Bison and find out a bunch of information. I did see that they weren't coming back, and they did have new ownership. And I was kind of shocked that new ownership came in, you know, after the inaugural season. But, you know, it's baseball. Sometimes ownership goes in for pride of the community or civic pride, not realizing you're going to probably lose some money the first, second, third, maybe even the fourth years. So I get that, you know, sometimes ownership changes. And that was it. Didn't hear from them. So I think the last time I heard from anybody from the Bison until now was on February 15th, and they said, thanks, let's reconvene later. So, yeah, this is what I said. Okay, let's reconvene sometime closer after the summer of 24 for a podcast. And they said, okay. Then, October 10th, 2023, I sent them a message. Say, hey, where's the team now? Are you coming back? Then January 4th, I find out that the Bison are coming back. And I said, hey, are the Bison back? Is this account the same? And then, yes, it was the same. So I think I've talked to three different people from the Twitter Bison Club, Twitter Bison Baseball Club, to set up a meeting to tell me, hey, let's reconvene. And then, hey, let's get something going. But I guess I accomplished my goal. I did talk to a member of the Bison. And Lizzie was great. I thought that was a nice little interview. She seems upbeat and excited from the Twin Cities, getting herself used to Pierre and the organization and South Dakota and all that good stuff. So I really enjoyed that. And I hope you guys enjoyed that as well, because that was a lot of fun. And that was something, like I said, I had been joking about for a while. I'd love to go out to a game. I'd love to go to the Dakotas. I'd love to just spend a few weeks out there during the summer. It's just, I don't know. It's a part of a country that's not hard to get to. It's just, I can plan it out with somebody. Somebody wants to take one of those like road trips with me. Maybe camp out. Maybe find a cheap place to stay. You know, just map it out where we can hit all those ballparks and come right back. It might be worth it. It's beautiful out there in the summer. It's been a long time since I've been out to that part of the country. Almost 30 years. So anytime I can get back to someplace I haven't been to in 30 years, I would definitely want to do that. Except for Caracas, Venezuela. Anyway, so guys, gentlemen, ladies, young ones, old ones, people of the world, thank you. Or people from space, maybe you listen there up there in your spaceships. Thank you for checking out the Ballpark Hunter podcast. I appreciate you making an effort. You know you have a choice of baseball-centric ball caps. Thinking about these new ball caps I just purchased. I know you have your choice of podcasts to listen to, and there's a lot of great ones out there. Listen to as many as you like. I'm not going to get offended. But if you do listen to mine, yeah, tell me how things are going. Let me know on the Apple app. It says you can leave a rating. I appreciate that, because you know, I think I'm doing a nice job, but, you know, sometimes it's nice to hear back from a few listeners. Let me know. Let me know what you like. Let me know what you don't like. I'm open to, you know, making changes if needed. So until next time, have a great, great day. And we have a nice little lineup coming up with new and improved people on here as guests. Let me just look up the lineup here. I'm not quite sure when this episode's going to go out, but it's going to go out, and you may or may not have listened to some of the following. Tyler Peterson, Oakland Ballers. Mike Olshan, Mercer Mammoths. Dave Zalatoris, he's got a podcast called Beer in Front. And Mr. Eddie Hoops, sports traveling around the globe. He tells us about some of the more interesting places he has seen soccer games, and he shares a little baseball too. So check me out on YouTube. Check me out on stadiumjourney.com, your industry's leader for sports travel. And definitely check me out on Twitter. I'm always able to have a conversation. Shoot me a direct message, or if we're not friends yet, just send me something on there and we'll be friends. All right. Till next time, take care and happy hunting.